Thank you so much for joining us today. We would love to hear how God is using this ministry to touch your life. So please, take a minute and send us your story to mystory@crossroadscb.org. And if God has used this ministry to touch your life in any way, we want to encourage you, partner with us financially. Help us continue delivering God's word to the world. You can visit crossroadscb.org to find the giving option that works best for you. Thanks again for joining us and enjoy today's message.
Okay, let's give Pastor Colby a great big hand. Come on up, brother. So can I introduce your book so that you don't have to sell your own product? So Pastor Colby brought his book, Triumph in Tragedy. Are you going to share just any about that, about your... Nope. Okay, so he was diagnosed with cancer 8 years ago, and God miraculously healed him. He's a miracle standing on the stage. This is his story. It's on the back table, $15 at the door, and the deal is you can get 2 for $30, so.
Hallelujah. Does anybody want it? Well, you got to run to get it. I mean, if somebody wants it, here we go. First come, first serve. I'm sorry, y'all got beat. I thought we were about to have a wrestling match up here. What a blessing to be here. Hallelujah. Wow. Crossroads Church. Help me, Jesus. I cannot tell you how honored I am to be here today. And y'all's worship is phenomenal. This church is phenomenal. We had an amazing time yesterday. It was, I can't even begin to describe what God did in the men of this house, in this community, what he did in my own life, amen. We just encountered the Father yesterday, and it was such a blessing. And so I am here on with Pastor Nancy McCready Ministries, and I cannot just... I'm feeling a little overwhelmed of his goodness. Can we just be grateful this morning? If you only knew what led to this moment. How many know God's up to something in your life? You know, I was going back through my Facebook messages and you don't know me this morning, but you're going to know me a little better in a few minutes. I was going back through my Facebook messages from mine and Pastor Nancy's messages, and March 3rd, 2011, I knew who Pastor Nancy was. She had come to our church. I wasn't particularly fond of her or her teaching, but I love you now, Pastor Nancy. And I was diagnosed with a terminal illness. I was given 6 months to live with zero hope, 0% chance of living. And I got a Facebook message from Pastor Nancy. And she just said, I just want to let you know I'm praying for you. And I'm praying for the Father's purposes in this tragic event in your life. And I thought to myself, it's so strange that this woman that I don't know, really, no, you know, I knew of her, I didn't really know her, would take the time to speak into my life. And I didn't know that 6 years after that message, I would be sitting in her office, healed, thank God. Yeah, we can thank God. But a broken, tired, worn out vessel from the Lord. You see, I didn't know what was inside of that relationship. I didn't know what that Facebook message meant. And what I didn't know about it was that 6 years after that, I would be sitting in her office beginning a restoration process that has radically and totally, completely transformed my life and ministry. And what I didn't know was on the inside of that relationship and that conversation was a man 2 years later that I would meet named Pastor Joseph at a cross encounter in Sealy, Texas. And I didn't know on the inside of that relationship and that experience that there was an entire church that I would have the opportunity to be a friend to its destiny. Amen? Amen? I want to tell you something. God has you on a journey this morning. And I don't know where it's going or where it's taking you, but I know that it's with Him and I know that it's good. Amen? I believe that with all of my heart. So I am so honored to be here. I'm so grateful to be here. Pastor Joseph and Tammy. I don't know if Crossroads knows it, but these are two of the most incredible people I've ever met. Crossroads Church is blessed with their pastors. Amen. And I don't say this just for hype and excitement, but I say this because I'm telling you in the spirit, I believe that the best days of Crossroads Church are in front of you. Do you believe that? The best days of Crossroads Church are in front of you. Amen. Listen to me. 1970-something may have been glorious, but what Jesus is going to do in the days to come will be even greater. Do you believe that? You've got to begin to stir yourself up in faith and believe that God is taking this church somewhere. If He wouldn't, He wouldn't have given you those kind of pastors. He wouldn't have brought this amazing team together. Amen? I've been staying at Isaac and Maria's house. I'm so grateful for them. And they've kept me full of coffee and yogurt. And I don't know how they do it. They have 4 children. I still have not heard them yet. I said yesterday, I've seen them and I've smelled them, but I have not heard them. So I don't know what she has threatened them with, but they have not made a sound. So y'all are such a blessing. Amen. Thank you, praise team. I really appreciate you guys. Y'all give them a hand clap. I've heard some really bad music in churches, and this isn't one of those churches. Are you grateful? That was awesome worship. Proceed to the root. It's the title of this message today, Proceed to the Root. Yesterday we had such an amazing men's encounter, and these men, a lot of them started a journey that literally will impact the rest of their life. And you know, but when some people get born again, they think they signed up for an experience. And I tell you that because that's what I thought. They think they signed up for an experience, but what we really signed up for was a process. Amen? We signed up for a process. We thought that we signed up for Disney World. Are y'all with me? Hallelujah, I got saved. Does anybody remember when they got saved? Thank you, Jesus. I remember the day. August 7th, 2000, snot and tears and it, ugly cry. You know when you do the ugly cry? I'm just so grateful for God. But we think we signed up for this experience, but we signed up for a process. And I didn't fully understand that. We think we signed up for Disney World, but what we actually signed up for was the trip to Disney World. Anybody been to Disney World before? Yeah? The Magic Kingdom? No, seriously, anybody ever been there? We took our kids to Florida. I took them for one day because that's all we could afford. Amen. They got to go for one day. We did like 16 hours. But you know, the Disney World was fun, and it really was magical, and I was excited about it. And it was one of the best experiences of my life. But can I tell you about the trip to Disney World? We live in Texas. It's a long ways to Orlando. Do I have any parents in the house? Right? The trip there was a little bit different than the experience when we got there. You know, somebody throws up in the car, right? Your wife is Googling lawyers, divorce lawyers, because you just got in the biggest fight you've ever got in your marriage. And it was all because she thought you should have been in this lane, but you were in the other lane, right? It was some of the most grueling time of my life. But when we got there, it was amazing. And see, what I've learned about Christianity is it is not a destination. It is a journey. It is this great, wonderful process that we get to have with Jesus. Your next steps don't end with Jesus whenever you get saved. That's just the beginning of this wonderful, amazing journey. Psalm 37, 23. It says, "The Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights in him. Though he may stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with his hand." Are you grateful that he's not going to allow you to completely fall out of this thing? Somebody say amen. But sometimes along this journey, I have learned that sometimes your next step might be a misstep. Right? Your next step might be a misstep, and I think I might be talking to some people this morning that feel like maybe they've taken a few too many missteps, and they've gotten so far off track along the journey that they're not quite sure how to get back. You see, I was that guy. I was that guy when I went and sat in Pastor Nancy's office a little over 3 years ago. Broken and tired and fed up with the way Christianity was treating me. Because you know it was the church's fault. It was my wife's fault. It was, oh, help me, Jesus. It was my pastor's fault. Right? It was anybody's fault but mine. And I had journeyed so far off of my oneness in my relationship with my Father, that I wasn't quite sure how to get back. Amen? I could wear the jacket and the nice shirt and my Converse, and you would have thought I had it all together, right? I feel very comfortable in my Converse at this church. But I knew in my spirit that I had journeyed off of the route. I had somewhere taken a wrong turn, and I wasn't quite sure how to get back, and I thank God every single day that I met someone who helped me proceed to the route. Have you ever been using your GPS and you're traveling somewhere and you take a wrong turn? Y'all, I don't even know how I take a wrong turn. It gives you detailed instructions on what to do. I'm like, how did I miss the exit? It told me 47 miles ago, 16 times since then, that the exit's coming up. But somehow I missed the exit. Y'all know what I'm talking about, Siri. Siri, that little demonic voice. You miss the exit. And what does she say? Proceed to the route. That sounded good. You miss the exit and all of a sudden you hear that voice. Proceed to the route. Proceed to the root. And there's nothing more irritating than those words. Proceed to the root. It makes my blood boil because now I've got to figure out where to go. The exit I took, it's for some reason you can't get back on the highway for another 10 miles. And now the fight that we were having about the lane has gotten even worse because yours truly has messed up the map. I've gotten off track. But on this journey, what do I do on this journey? What do you do on this journey when we realize that somewhere along the way, we've gotten off track? What do we do? And I want to tell you what to do today. This is not deep. It's not going to be theological. It is just proceed to the root. It's my word for you this morning. Proceed to the root. Amen? Hallelujah. In Luke chapter 15, Luke chapter 15, verse 11 through 32, is the story of the prodigal son. And how many of y'all can handle like that many verses at one time? Are y'all okay if I read a Bible story? You know, that's like, you know, pastors start getting more than like two or three verses at a time and people are like checking out. They're like, you know, it's almost lunchtime. You know what I'm saying? So are y'all ready? Can y'all handle this? Amen. I'm so excited. I'm all the way here from Texas. Amen. Texas. And I love being in Iowa. It's almost like being in Texas. I'm serious. It's almost like being there. On the menu the other day, there was Texas toast. All right. Amen. We were at the men's encounter, and they put Texas barbecue sauce on my pulled pork. I'm serious. We're driving around last night, and I went, oh, my God, there's Texas Roadhouse. So I get it. Y'all want to be like Texas. Listen to me. You don't ever see an Iowa Roadhouse in Texas. I have never once eaten Iowa toast in Texas. Amen. Everybody say, God bless Texas. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 15, verse 11. The prodigal son would be the title in your Bible over this story. It's a story of two sons and a good father. Verse 11, and it says, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of my goods that falls to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all he had together and took a journey into a far country. And there he wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all he had, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed the pigs. He would have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, but no one would give him any. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants in my father have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired servants. And when he arose and came to his father, he was a great distance away, and the father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to the father, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put on his ring and his shoes on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this son of mine was dead, and he is alive again. He was lost, and he was found, and they began to be merry. Now his son was in the field. His older son was in the field. As he came and drew close to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called out to one of the servants and asked, and he said, what do these things mean? And he said unto him, your brother's come. And your father killed the fatted calf because he received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. And therefore his father came out and asked him. And he answered his father and said, lo, these many years I have served you and neither transgressed at any time your commandment. And you never gave me not even a goat that I might be merry with my friends. But as soon as the son was come, which he had devoured with. But as soon as thy son has come home, which devoured all his living with prostitutes, you killed him a fatted calf. And he said to him, son, aren't you always with me? And isn't everything that I have yours? It was good that we should make merry and be glad, for this brother was dead and he is alive again in the lost. And he was lost, and now he is found. What an awesome story, amen? What an awesome, awesome story. It's the story of the prodigal son, but it's really interesting. You won't see the word prodigal anywhere in that story. And what the word prodigal means is if you look up what that word means, it means to be wasteful. It means to be wasteful. It means wasteful living. Come on, when we get off of the route, when we get off of the path that God has for us, it causes us to waste. What if I'm going to Disneyland from Texas to Orlando, it's like 26 hours. If I get off route, what am I doing? I'm wasting time. I'm wasting money. I'm wasting energy. I am wasting some good moments that I could possibly be having with my spouse in anger and frustration. Can I get an amen? Y'all are looking at me like y'all always get along when you drive. Help me, Jesus. That is the most dangerous place for my marriage, right there in the car. Wasteful living. You see, this isn't just a story about one son. We like to make it about one son, but really it's a story about two sons. It's a story about two sons. The first son that we see, he takes the father's stuff. He goes up to the father and he says, give me my stuff. I'm going to go take your stuff and use it the way I want to use it. And it says that he traveled to a distant country, to a faraway country, and he wasted everything that his father had given him. He wasted everything that his father had given him. Now, we get that. As you know, we always pray for prodigals at church. Do y'all pray for prodigal children, children that are far from the Lord? I always thought that prodigals were like people that were far from God, and they were out there doing the bad stuff. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Like they out there smoking and drinking and partying and running women and doing the... Listen, Johnny, you know what I'm talking about. That's a prodigal. Listen, I'm sure somebody prayed for you. And we got to pray for that prodigal, Johnny. Amen? We got to pray for him. Why? Because he's way out there doing the bad stuff. Doing all that bad stuff. Right? They used to pray for me. Thank God they prayed for me. Because I was out there as a teenager doing all that bad stuff. Prodigal, those are the bad ones. And we want to pray them back home. Pray them back home. They're prodigal. They're far from God. That's what I always thought a prodigal was. But this isn't just a story about one son. It's a story about two sons. Because you've got another son in this story. And I believe he was being just as wasteful as the first son. So you've got another son in this story who literally had been living in his father's house his entire life. And through what the scripture says, we find out that never once, he's like, Dad, why are you giving Johnny, the bad one, why are you giving Johnny a party? Why are you giving him a calf? Why are you giving him a ring? Why did you allow him to wear that robe? He is upset because Johnny, the bad one, gets all the stuff. But what it shows us about this second son, the older son, we find out about him, is that even though all that stuff was his, he had never partaken of it. Now, what is a prodigal? Prodigal is wasteful living. Wasteful living. Let me explain it to you like this. I have two daughters. Two daughters, Zoe and Gracie. Help me, Jesus. They are so pretty. They're so awesome. If I could look at a picture of them right now, I would. But I love my daughters. But how many have kids in raised in the same house, same parents, you made the same mistakes, you've done the same right stuff, and they could not be any more different from one another. You're like, how did this happen? They look different. They act different. Did you come? Where did we get you from? They're totally and completely different. Now, listen. If I'll give you a scenario that has happened a lot of times in my family. You take your kids out to eat, which that's just a bad thing anyways. There's nothing good ever comes from restaurants and children. You take your kid out to eat. I've got my two girls. I take them out to eat. It is for sure that they're going to order more food than they could possibly eat in a week, right? So let's say I take them out to eat pizza, and they both get their pizza, and they both take like a half a bite, And then they're like, I'm not hungry. And you're like, okay, that's cool. You get all hardcore parent, right? Well, you're going to eat that when you get home. Aren't we bad? How many of y'all talk trash as a parent and don't back it up? So I'm going to tell them, I'm going to say, look, the next time you're hungry, that's what you're eating. Why? Because I paid for that pizza and you're going to eat the pizza. Now, see, I got two different girls. So we get the to-go boxes. We get the to-go boxes and each one of them has their pizza in their to-go box. And Zoe, my sweet little baby, she's the oldest and most compliant. And y'all have that kid, right? And so she just says, yes, Father, I will eat this my next meal. She's just. And then you got Gracie, which her name is prophetic over her life. I'm telling you. And you got Gracie, and here's what Gracie will do in true Gracie fashion. Gracie knows that she doesn't want to eat that pizza the next meal or any meal for the rest of her life. And so Gracie will walk out of the restaurant, look me in the face, open the box, and dump out her pizza. I'm going to get out my phone. I'm going to say, yes, 911. I would like to report a murder. I'm about to kill my kid. So Gracie takes what I paid for, and she dumps it out in my face. Right in my face. But Zoe, sweet Zoe, blonde hair, cute little short haircut. She takes her pizza like a good baby. And she goes home and puts it in the refrigerator. I'm preaching today. And 2 weeks later, I go to the refrigerator. And I open it up and I see this white to-go box, styrofoam to-go box. And I go, I wonder what that is. And I open it up, and it's pizza. And it's got green hair growing off of it. Meanwhile, Gracie just got out of the hospital. She's just starting to walk again. But you know what I think? What did Gracie do with her pizza? She wasted it. In my face. I paid for it. She did not partake of it. What did Zoe do? She wasted it. Why is one different than the other? Why is one more acceptable than the other? Because see, what I'm going to do is get that pizza and go, doggone it, we didn't eat the pizza, and go throw it in the trash. But what Gracie did was just like what Zoe did. Just a little less. Or what Zoe did was just like what Gracie did, just a little less flamboyant. You see, Gracie did it out in the middle of the street, in my face, in a loud, obvious rebellion. Zoe did it in my house. In a quiet, calm, peaceful rebellion. You see, Gracie wasted what I purchased for her in my face. Zoe wasted what I purchased for her in my house. Gracie did it outside of the house. Zoe did it inside of the house. One was acceptable, one was not. But I really believe with all of my heart, because I know this through personal experience, that the prodigals that we need to be praying for are not just the ones that are far away from God and far away from his house, but I am of the belief that there are just as many prodigals in the house as there are outside of the house. One is just a little more palatable. One is just a little bit more acceptable than the other. But both of my children wasted what I purchased for them. One did it in the house. One did it outside of the house. Prodigal. Wasteful living. Can I tell you, I know this because one day I realized through the goodness and graciousness of Holy Spirit that I, good sir, was also a prodigal. I'll write my next book, it'll be called The Prodigal Pastor. Living in God's house, but not partaking of his stuff. Wasting what he has for me, living in his house and wasting his stuff. Living in his house and having no relationship with him. Wow. How many of us come to church week in, week out? We'll even pray for those crazy sinners out there. Lord, help those bad people. Help those ones that are far from you. In our hearts, we're living in his house, and we're not partaking of him. See, I believe God is awakening a church. I believe that he is awakening a church in Council Bluffs, Iowa. That not just the crazy, awful sinners will come in, but that the people who sit in the seats will begin to live as they were originally intended and designed to live, and that's in oneness with the Father. I don't know what kind of house you live in, but I live in the kind of house that, like, if it's in the fridge, you can eat it. Don't come ask me, Dad, can I have that piece of bread? Why? What are you talking about? What's mine is yours. What's mine is yours. You don't have to come ask us. Listen to me. My kids don't have to go out and provide for themselves. My kids, listen to me. I don't see them out there like hunting a deer, skinning it, and like, well, my dad wouldn't share what he had with me, so I had to go provide for myself. No. I'm the kind of father that says, hey, what I purchase, you may partake of. And that's the kind of father we serve. What he has purchased, he wants us to partake of. Not go out there and get what we need for ourselves. Come on, he invites us into this fellowship with him. Colby, listen, do you see all those cows out there? Those are yours. Do you want one? Because we can kill it and eat it. You see the ring? That's yours. You don't have to go weave your own robe. I got one for you. Proceed to the root. Both of these sons had gotten off track. I have gotten off track. I have lived my life in God's house, independent from him. Never the way that he originally designed me to live. But you know what I always heard? See, I would hear the things like, you loser, and you call yourself a pastor. Come on, Colby. I heard these voices. Come on, Colby, you should know better than this. Come on, Colby, you should be doing better than this. I heard those voices, the voice of shame. You know, Colby, you probably don't really need to go have fellowship with God because he's probably going to slap you in the face and say, where in the heck have you been? And then I also hear this voice, and it's just saying, Colby, God, what do I do? I don't know what to do. I don't know how to get back on track. I've somehow exited off too soon. I've somehow, even though it was clear in your word and clear what I should be doing, I somehow got off and I don't hear this condemning and shameful voice. And I know that voice might be loud in your head today, but I want you to hear a different voice that's saying, hey, listen. Just proceed to the root. Proceed to the root. Proceed to the root. I know you may have gotten off track a little bit, but just proceed to the root. And see, I want to look at this younger son who came back to God, and I want to give you just a few tips for the trip. Just a few tips for the trip as you make your journey back to God. See, because of my own experience, I cannot assume that everybody looks as good in their spiritual condition as they do on their exterior. Come on, somebody. You know you spent more time fixing your hair than you did reading your Bible. I'm just kidding. Proceed to the root. I want you to hear his goodness and his love today. Saying, proceed to the root. But I've gotten too far off track. I've messed this thing up too much. Proceed to the root. Tips for the trip, number one, if you're taking notes. Number one, if you're taking notes, you determine the distance you travel from the root. You determine, where are my helpers at? Greg, right? Greg and Jesse. You determine the distance you travel from the root, right? Now, who's the father? No, you're the father. No, you're the father. You're the son. That makes sense. Because he's a... So Greg is this son. Now, y'all come here. Y'all get closer. And do y'all love Jesse? Y'all appreciate Jesse? So Greg is the son. And the father, Greg asks the father for his stuff, his inheritance, so he can go use it the way he wants to. Now, right now, Greg is in his father's house. He's doing what his father wants to do. He's with his father. But Greg decides he's going to take his father's stuff, and he is going to get off the root. And he comes all the way to a distant, remember the story said a far away country. Where did Greg go? Right there. Where did the father go? Did the father go anywhere? And that's because we determine the distance that we travel from the root. We determine that distance. All right? We determine the distance. Look, if I get off the exit and I hear proceed to the root, I can decide, okay, I'm going to proceed to the root. Or you know what? I think I want to take this little detour. I heard there's a nice beach right over here. I'm going to go check it out. So we determine the distance. Y'all give them a hand clap. We determine the distance that we travel from the root. Tip number two, frustration is your friend. Frustration is your friend. It is the indicator that you have gotten off track. I want to tell you something. It is very frustrating. And I know this by experience. It is the most frustrating thing you'll ever do is to use God's stuff your way. It's to take his life and live it independently from him. There is nothing more frustrating. But I thank God for his frustrations. Let me tell you something. I was one of the most frustrated dudes you could find. Frustrated, borderline depression. I mean, I am just done because somehow, in some way, in my own goodness, I had veered from my relationship with him, from my intimacy, my oneness with God. And I had taken his life that he bled and died for. And I had traveled from the root to use it my way. That is frustrating. So if you're in here and you're frustrated today, listen to those frustrations. You're frustrated with people. You're frustrated with your church. You're frustrated with your pastor. You're frustrated with your spouse. You're frustrated with yourself. These are some flashing, beaming indicators that you are in a great work of God. See, I always thought if God really loved me, he would take all the frustrations away. But what those frustrations will do, if you'll allow them, is drive you right back to the heart of the Father. Frustrations, you determine the distance you travel from the root. Frustration is your friend. Number three, not everyone is meant to take the trip with you. It says that he hired himself to a citizen of that country. Another version says that he joined himself. In the Greek word for joined, it means glued. This man literally went out of his father's house to a distant country, and he glued himself in relationship with somebody that he should not have. Now, don't go be like, oh, yeah. So you're telling me my spouse is the problem. I had glued myself to them, and I'm frustrated. So that's not what I'm talking about. Y'all are like, yes, he's finally preaching it. He glued himself. It's painful to have to tear ourselves away from people that we're glued to. But sometimes God lets unnecessary relationships go south. It's painful but necessary to show us who they really are and to remind us who we really are. See, when you get off the route, there's going to be all kinds of relationships and people that come into your life that were never on the route. And then there's going to be people and relationships in your life that God is going to send, and they're going to be the sweet voice of Jesus saying, hey, go back to your Father. Proceed to the root. Proceed to the root. Not everyone is meant to take the trip with you. You determine the distance you travel from the root. Frustration is your friend. Not everyone is meant to take the trip with you. Number four, the faster you can admit you're wrong, the faster you can get back on track. Isn't that hard? But you know what it takes, what it took for me, what it takes? It takes the Holy Spirit showing you. Like, even right now I'm talking, some of you are like, no, dude, I'm cool. I'm good. I've got this. But when the Holy Spirit allows you to see, the faster that you can admit you're wrong, the faster you can get back on track. I love what the son says. He says, I will go to my father and tell him I was wrong. I love it. I will go to my father and tell him that I was wrong. Can I tell you something today? The father is not one to be avoided. But your flesh will make him seem like he is the evil one. When I made the joke earlier about Pastor Nancy not being my favorite person, it was actually true. Because that message of the cross, that message of oneness with the Father that she was preaching, was not a message that set well with my condition in a faraway country. It's not one that set well with my independence from God. Come on, it didn't jive with what my flesh wanted to do. Amen? It didn't really work with my agenda. But I can go to my father and tell him that I was wrong. I told a story yesterday, and it just makes me think of the goodness of the Father, so I'll tell that story again. Some of you men have heard this story, but it was Good Friday, and I just want you to know you can go to your Father today. No matter what situation you've got yourself in, you can go to your Father. He's a good Father. So it's Good Friday, and we've just recently purchased some land, and on that land is a small pond, and my girls, they love to fish. And and so they wake me up on Good Friday, my day off. I want to sleep in. And they're like, Dad, let's go fishing. They're all excited, and me being the good dad that I am, I was like, no, I want to sleep in. And so I tell them, y'all go fishing without me. Y'all go without. You know, I'm not getting up. I'm this is my day to sleep in. I was pretty irritated that they had woken me up, and so they go fishing, and I'm already awake now. I can't sleep in, so I go hop in the shower, and as I'm in the shower, I hear all this chaos happening in my house. Women screaming. Women just going crazy because I have my wife and two daughters. It's all women. We got two female dogs. We got two female cats. It's all, y'all pray for me. And so I just hear all this commotion, but it wasn't that big a deal because I hear this all the time. And so I'm thinking, wonder what's going on out there. And there's women are going crazy. They're screaming. And the next thing I know, I'm in the shower. I'm soaped up, lathered up. And please do not get a mental picture. And next thing I know, the bathroom door slings open. And I'm like, hey, you know, what are you? Somebody's in here. I mean, what's going on? What are y'all doing here? And so we've got the frosted glass. So it's okay. And so the bathroom door flings open, and there's still screaming and chaos and madness. And the next thing I know, the shower door cracks about an inch. And I'm like, what are y'all doing? I'm in the shower. What is happening? And the next thing I know after that, a fishing pole slides through the crack in the shower. And on the end of that fishing pole is a perch. I'm like, what is happening? There is a fish in my shower with me. What is going on? And so I didn't know what to do. So I grab the end of the line. I take the perch off the hook. I hand it out the door. They take the perch and they go. But I love it because my daughter had gotten herself into a situation that she could not get herself out of. And she said she tried for like 20 minutes to get this fish off the hook. She would put it back in the water and then take it out and try and try and try to get it out. And finally she said, you know what? I can't do this on my own. I think I'm going to have to go to my dad to do it for me. I promise you, Jesus will do for you. Your Father will do for you what you cannot do for yourself. Listen to me, what you got yourself into, you cannot get yourself out of. It will literally take the power of everything that God accomplished through his son, through the cross, through the resurrection to get you back on the route. That's the God that we serve. That's the Father that we serve. He is one to run to and say, I've got myself hooked up and I cannot get myself free. God, I need you. Father, I need you. He's not too busy. He's not in a situation to where he will send you away. He's not going to say, what were you doing? I told you. Listen, don't bother me with this. He's not going to say any of those things. He's going to do what our Father does for every single one of us. He is not to be avoided. He is to be lived in oneness with. You know, I always wonder, ever since that story, that's my side of the story, right? That's my version of the story. I like wonder, the fish gets back into the pond and he swims up to his buddies and he's like, y'all are not going to believe this. He's got a story to tell. I will go back to my Father and tell that I'm wrong. I'm almost finished. Number five. The distance back to the root is always shorter than the distance you traveled from it. Can I talk about the goodness of God today? Some of y'all think you're so far. I thought I was so far. But the distance you've traveled from the root, it's always going to be shorter back to the root. Proceed. Can I have my volunteers one more time? Greg and Jesse. You see, come here. Greg traveled a far distance. Isn't she a good father? Greg traveled a far distance. And let me tell you something. He took every single step. It was his effort, his decision, his power, his strength, his own doing that got him this far away from God. But see, I just want to talk about the goodness of God today, because the distance you traveled from the root, it's always going to be shorter to travel back to the root, because that is the goodness of God. He will not make you work anywhere near. He will not make you work at all to get back like you had to work to get away. Amen? See, this is the grace of God, the goodness of God. This is what I could not believe when I sat down with the Father, because I thought I was going to have to trudge my way back to the goodness of God. I thought I was going to have to trudge my way back to the will of God. But little did I know that as soon as that son took a step, the Bible says while he was a far distance away, the Father, oh my God, we have such a good Father. We have such a good Father. The Father, look. The Father is like waiting. He's looking into the distant country. And he's like, I wonder when my son is going to get tired of living apart from me. I wonder when he's going to. Listen, he is focused on his prized possession. And he's looking and he's peering and he's saying, if I can just see him, if he will just step over that hill in the distance, I will cover the ground for him. And look I want to show y'all. What happens, I want to show y'all what happens when we take a step in the right direction towards our Father. Listen to me, watch what happens. Watch him. He takes a step. Oh my goodness, Jesus. Jesus. Oh no, well, do it again. Why? I like this. Look. He had to work in his own effort to get out there. But when he made the decision, an act of his own will, to go back to his Father, watch how his Father responds. God. The distance back to the root is always shorter than the distance you traveled. Why? Because the Father, the cross, the goodness of our God will make up the distance. When you get off the route, it's always your decision and your doing. But when you get back on, it's your decision and his doing. You will not work your way back to God. You will not self-effort your way back to God. You're not going to counsel yourself back to God. You're not going to worship yourself back to God. He is going to overtake you with his love, in his goodness, the moment you decide, now is my time. And I will step back into my process. I will step back in to what the Father wants to do in my life. The last thing. This is the greatest news I have ever heard in my life. You don't determine the condition you return in. This is good news, because I was willing to come back to God, but it was as a worm. I was willing to come back to God, but it was as a sorry old loser who made so many mistakes. But I have news for you. You don't determine the condition you return in. It's not up to you. It's up to your Father. So I would like to talk to every loser in the house, to every worm in the house, to everybody crawling and trying to work their way back to this incredible God. Listen to what he says. And the son tried to come back on his terms. He tried. Luke 15. He said, I'll go back. I'll set out and go back to my Father. And I'll say to him, look, he's got this whole plan. Isn't it good? We get our plan ready to come back. I'll say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and I've sinned against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. Y'all, this, I'm telling you, this is a story about Colby Hill. So he got up and he went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion, and he ran to his son. He threw his arms around him and he kissed him. And the son said what he had rehearsed, what he had practiced in the mirror. He said, okay, when I see my father in my shame and my guilt and my embarrassment, here's what I'm going to say. Son said to the father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this worm of mine. No. Go live. Did he say, go live in the servants' quarters? You are no longer worthy to be called my son. No, that's what the son thought he would say. He said, not my servant, not my worm, not that loser, not the one who could never measure up, not the one who I'm disgusted with, not the one who I'm ashamed of. Look, for this son of mine has come home. He's come home. You don't decide how you come home. You don't get to step back into what God has to you as a second-rate Christian, as a washed-up has-been. You will step back into God's goodness. You will step back into the Father's arms as the full Son of God that He created before the foundations of the earth. You don't get to decide how you come back. The Father decides how you come back. And He says, you are my son. You are my son. There's nothing second rate about you. There's nothing left over about you. You are who God created you to be in spirit. The new creation that He purchased, that He bled and died for. You will not come back as a worm. You will not crawl back into God's house. You will be fully reinstated as His full son. That's who you are. That's who you are. Thank you, Jesus, for your goodness. Ephesians 1, 4, and 5 says that He chose us out in love, that we would be His sons. And He did that, listen to me, He did that long before any of us ever decided to live independent from Him. He did that before the foundation of the world. See, it took somebody. I'm crying and I'm upset because I said I got far from God. How could He ever accept me back? How could I ever step back into the original plan that God had for me? I'll probably have to live a second-rate life, Pastor Joseph. And my mentor, my friend, the person who discipled me, looked at me and she said, you, sir, you, fine sir, are not that powerful to take yourself out of the original plan that God wrote over your life from the beginning of time. And I would like to say the same thing to you today. You, sir, you, ma'am, are not powerful enough to change the writings that have been written over your life since before the foundations of the world. I would like to tell you that the original plan that God had for your life, plan A, it is still on. Here's the word, just proceed to the root. The Father is there. His original goodness for you is there. Just proceed to the root. You see, you don't serve a plan B pastor today. This is a plan A pastor. God had this written over this house before you knew about it, before he knew about it. God had Pastor Joseph and Tammy written over this house before the foundations of the world. You are not a plan B church member. God knew that you would be here today. This is not a plan B for my life. God knew that I would be releasing this word in this house today. This, oh, help me, Jesus. This is not a plan B church. What God wrote over this house before the foundations of the earth, he will be faithful to watch over it, and he will be faithful to complete it. And I would like to go so far as to say Council Bluffs, Iowa is not a plan B community. But what your heavenly Father has written over this town, over this community before the foundations of the earth, he will see it come to pass. And I've got good news for you. You get to be a part of it. Somebody give Jesus a hand clap. Thank you, Father. No second-rate sons in this house. Wow. What an awesome God we serve. I'm so honored. I'm so honored to share with you today. God is still working this truth out in me. Because I don't wake up every day and feel like the full son. Shame tells me I'm second rate. But when I get with him, it's always in the fullness of what he has intended for me. Father, I thank you. Thank you for your sons. I thank you that they're here. I thank you that they're in this house. Father, I thank you. Maybe not today. Maybe not tomorrow. But I thank you that your goodness, through their frustrations and disappointments and difficulties, would allow them to say, I think I want to take that step back towards my Father. I want to step back in to the plan A that he had written over my life. Oh, Father, I thank you. This church's best days are in front of them. Father, I pray for Pastor Joseph and Tammy today. God, I thank you that you're pouring out a Psalm 92:10, fresh anointing. Crossroads Church, in my spirit, I'm telling you, I'm Holy Spirit, let this church see what you have gifted them. Let them see it, Father. No more church as usual. Assignment living in Council Bluffs. Father, I thank you for everything that has led them to this place. It's your goodness. And Father, I thank you that They're not arriving to a destination just like none of us are. But Father, as they journey along this route, they just stay with you. They're faithful to you. Father, no matter who leaves or who stays, they are faithful to the vision that you give them. They're too important. This church is too important. This community is too important. So, Father, in your strength, not Joseph's, not Tammy's, I thank you that every day they take each step completely and totally dependent upon you. And you release in them the power from you that it's going to take to accomplish what you've put in this man of God's heart. Oh, I love you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Can y'all give the Lord a hand clap?